I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. A little later, tax tips for the procrastinators. I hate to be the one to tell this to you, but the filing deadline is a week away, so we'll have some tips for you in just a few minutes. But first, Zimbabwe. 10 days after Zimbabweans went to the polls, they are still waiting to find out who won their presidential election. Opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai insists that he has won outright, based on the strength of the results from individual polling stations and the parliamentary elections. But the party of incumbent Robert Mugabe, trying to extend his 28-year rule, is pushing for a delay pending a recount. Joining us to talk about this is Susan Page of the National Democratic Institute. She's the organization's regional director for Southern and East Africa, and she's shared insights with us before from her time spent working in the region. She was there for 15 years. She joins us now here in our Washington studio. We're also joined by Charlene Hunter-Galt. She's NPR Special Africa Correspondent. She's with us from Johannesburg. Welcome to you both, ladies. Thank you both.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah.
Susan, first to you. When we last talked, there was concern that the election results would not be respected by the ruling party. So on the one hand, the ZANU-PF doesn't seem to be contesting the parliamentary losses. On the other hand, there are still no official results in the presidential race. How do you assess that situation?
Well, it's actually quite interesting because right now they are actually contesting the parliamentary results. And the latest news comes this morning that five ZEC coordinators, ZEC is the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, they're responsible for actually releasing the results. And five of the ZEC coordinators who are responsible for aggregating the polling station count data at the ward level and then forwarding it on to the national level were arrested for underreporting the votes. They've been charged with fraud and criminal abuse of their public duty. So it does seem as if there is already a contest underway for the to change the results of the parliamentary elections.
On the one hand, the courts are open, and Zimbabwe's High Court ruled today, on Tuesday, that it would at least address the opposition's application for immediate release of the presidential election results. How do you interpret that?
Well, I think that's a good sign. They were actually, under the Zimbabwean law, they were obliged to release the results of the presidential elections by Friday. So already a few days have passed since that date has passed. So I think it's a good sign, at least, that the court is going to address the MDC petition. What is unfortunate, though, is that ZANU-PF is already calling for a recount of the presidential elections, as well as a runoff.
A recount of results that have not been released.
Correct.
And finally, before I go to Charlene, the Morgan Tsvangirai, the opposition leader of the MDC, says that he believes that Mugabe is using this time to prepare a violent crackdown. We've already seen signs of a crackdown. You know, reporters have been thrown into jail. There seem to be some intimidation tactics going on. But is there any evidence to support Morgan Tsvangirai's statement?
Well, not only have journalists been arrested, we have an NDI senior program officer, Dilipan Sivapathasundaram, who has been working for us in Zimbabwe, and he has been detained, questioned over several days, and he still has not been released, nor is he free to leave the country. So he's been provisionally released into the custody of the U.S. government, but not allowed to leave. We also are hearing signs that former war veterans are out in force, seizing some of the farms again. So I think that the signs are there, even though the lead up to the election was actually quite peaceful. And we were hopeful that the violence that had marked some of the past elections would have been avoided. But now we're seeing signs of that again.
Charlene, Thabo Mbeki, the leader of South Africa, is probably, would you agree, probably the most sort of influential regional player? What role is he playing in this?
Well, he was tasked by the Southern African Development Community to mediate in this dispute. That this isn't the first dispute that these two parties have had. So he's been involved in trying to negotiate something out for quite some time. And you probably heard him speaking in London saying publicly everything was all right and there's no need to worry, which some people found an interesting comment given all of the things that Susan has just described going on. Morgan Tsvangirai was in South Africa yesterday meeting with one of the negotiating team, Sidney Mufamadi, and there's no real information out about what took place in that meeting. So there's a big question mark, but presumably because Mbeki is out of the country, he was taking orders from Mbeki, but what those orders or what that discussion might have entailed, we don't know. But he is involved.
There's a pretty big expatriate community from Zimbabwe and South Africa right now. Isn't that right, Charlene?
Oh, yes. I mean, nobody is exactly sure how many, because so many slip across and very few are registered. Some people say upwards of 2 million, 3 million. But there's a huge expatriate community, and many of them are well-educated people. You know, the one of the few good things that Mugabe is credited for by both sides is having invested in education right after the end of colonialism. So you have quite an educated class, but many of them, doctors, lawyers, and so forth, are in Johannesburg working as gardeners and cooks and domestic servants, while others are engaged in activities that aren't quite as benign.
Like what?
Well, the police have said that there is some crime among some of those immigrants, and you have to remember that they are desperate. I've visited them in some of the hovels that they're living in, sometimes in a very small room, 8 or 9 people, one of whom had a baby because she was raped by a marauding gang as she swam across this crocodile-infested water, and when she got on the other side safely from the crocodile, she was raped by a gang of guys on the other side and found out 3 months later she was pregnant. So she's in a room with people she doesn't know with this infant baby. So they're really living horribly here, which must tell you something about conditions in Zimbabwe.
I also wonder, though, given their conditions there, are they in any position to press the South African government to do more about the situation there?
Yeah, they have many advocates here, and they are vocal. Yesterday, when there was talk of Tsvangirai being in the country, there was a demonstration outside the union buildings in Pretoria, which is the seat of government in this area. But I don't think that that kind of thing is going to really make a difference. I think that this is going to be decided by Mugabe and his people. And, you know, he's known to have been to be a very stubborn man. But the only other possibility for some kind of negotiated solution is that ZANU is divided. And I heard Susan talking about the war veterans, but the war veterans are now divided too. So it just remains to be seen now who's on what side and how much influence they have.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News, and we're talking about the developments in Zimbabwe related to the elections with Susan Page, the regional director for Southern and East Africa at the National Democratic Institute, and Charlene Hunter-Galt, NPR's special Africa correspondent. Susan, the U.S. government has been relatively quiet since the elections. What do you make of their response?
Well, I think on the whole, the international community is quite involved and engaged, and everyone is quite concerned, for instance, about the people who have been detained. As you mentioned earlier, Michelle, the journalist, our NDI senior program officer, others. These are all serious issues that the U.S. government has raised, and they are certainly doing everything they can to ensure the release of all of these people who have been detained.
But what are they doing?
Oh, they're lobbying with the government of Zimbabwe. They're talking to people. They are engaging lawyers, the consular officer. They have a duty to ensure the safety and security of U.S. citizens abroad.
But is there any?
Michelle,
go ahead, Shirley.
President Bush and the Prime Minister Brown in London, in the United Kingdom, they seem to be focusing on Mbeki as the lead person, and he is the Africa representative from the region. So both President Bush and President Bush has called Thabo Mbeki, and Thabo Mbeki met with Prime Minister Brown in London just about 2 days ago. And I think that, you know, the more outside involvement, like particularly the West and most particularly Great Britain, the former colonial ruler of Zimbabwe, the more they talk publicly, the more intransigent Mugabe's going to be and the more support he gets from those people who have swallowed the argument he's been making all these years of Zimbabwe's decline, that the decline has been caused by sanctions from the West.
And Susan, in just a minute or two that we have left, I do want to ask you about another situation. It is part of your territory in Kenya. In February, the ruling party and the opposition entered into a power-sharing agreement that was intended to end weeks of violence there that was related to disputed elections in December. But now it seems that at least the opposition has said that they've walked away from the negotiations. What are they fighting about?
Well, there in Kenya, the situation is a little bit different, but basically it's how to implement the power-sharing agreement that they signed off on with under the mediation of former Secretary General Kofi Annan. So now it's a matter of sharing ministries and ministerial portfolios. So what they have done in the past has been to enlarge the cabinet and have more ministries. However, now they're trying to determine which party will receive which ministries to head those up. So that's where the debate lies there.
Is there still any outside pressure being exerted on that situation? As you mentioned, that the international community was very involved in trying to broker an end to the situation there, which caused tremendous violence, many, many deaths, and something like 300,000 people displaced. Are there still outside actors involved in trying to keep the parties on course?
That's right. I think there is quite a lot of pressure still being put on the parties and in Kenya. And I think actually what Charlene just said earlier about the more vocal that some of these governments become, again, not necessarily in Kenya, but we have to be careful. And I believe that there is a lot of quiet diplomacy going on by lots of different actors and players who have a lot to say and who have influence with all of the leaders.
Susan Page is the regional director for Southern and East Africa at the National Democratic Institute. She was kind enough to join me here in our studio in Washington. We were also joined by our own Charlene Hunter-Galt. She's NPR's special Africa correspondent. She was with us from Johannesburg. Ladies, thank you both so much.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.